Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
I want to go to The Hague now, where Israel this morning started their defence of what it describes as atrocious allegations that it is committing genocide in Gaza. It's part of a landmark case before the International Court of Justice launched yesterday by South Africa, who argue that Israel stands in breach of the UN Genocide Convention that was signed in the wake of the Holocaust. Well, with the very latest, I'm joined on the line by Europe correspondent with Euronews, Shona Murray. Good morning, Shona.
Morning, Claire.
And we want to listen to some of what has happened in the last couple of hours. So lawyers representing South Africa yesterday presented their case, saying that Israel plans to destroy Gaza, and that comes from the highest level of state. And today it's the turn of Israel to present its defence. So let's hear from Malcolm Shaw, one of the legal representatives for Israel, speaking a little earlier.
As far as the acts are concerned in this case, there is little beyond random assertions to demonstrate that Israel has or has had the specific intent to destroy, in whole or in part, the Palestinian people as such. The intention faced with the 7th of October atrocities and the continuing rocket fire and incarceration of the hostages on the part of Israel to act in order to defend itself so as to terminate the threats against it and rescue the hostages, certainly exists. The intent to deal with the armed militants of Hamas and other such groups is undeniable. Were it the case, which we deny, that Israeli forces have transgressed some of the rules of conflict, then the matter will be tackled at the appropriate time by Israel's robust and independent legal system.
Now, Shona, there were very strong presentations. I think analysts were unanimous in agreeing that it was a very strong presentation from South Africa yesterday. How has Israel opened its defence?
Well, yeah, I think the opening of the defence really was about, as you heard there from Malcolm Shaw, relating to jurisdiction. First of all, he was saying that the court doesn't have jurisdiction on a very technical matter, essentially that South Africa hadn't previously spoke to Israel about its concerns of genocide and therefore there hadn't been a dispute, and therefore you can't just go to the International Court of Justice. You have to have a dispute between the two parties, which is a very technical part. But also, as you heard there, he was saying that there isn't been any breaches necessarily of the Genocide Convention, but potential breaches of international humanitarian law where you could have collateral damage or, as he mentioned there, some Israeli defence forces engaging in activity that is against the laws of armed conflict, but not genocide. And what's interesting is we've heard from the legal counsel saying that there is an appalling suffering of civilians as a result of Hamas, but not Israel's strategy, because of Hamas hiding within civilian areas, firing rockets from civilian areas, and having its headquarters embedded in the hospitals. That's what we've heard from Israel so far. There hasn't been a huge amount of substantive response to the humanitarian catastrophe, like we spoke about yesterday, when we heard from Lenini Grawley for South Africa, who said on a daily basis, 10 children will have one or both arms or legs amputated, often without anaesthetics. So we haven't heard any response to any of those issues. We've also heard the Israelis saying that the 23,000 people who have died and 7,000 under the rubble, that those figures are disputable because they're unverified and they're provided by Hamas.
Now, they've also committed to showing raw footage of Hamas's October 7th attack during the hearing. Has that happened as of yet?
That hasn't, and we're 2 hours in, and we are expected to see that, because really the centre of Israel's argument is the context, first of all, which is that Israel regularly has to deal with attacks from Hamas going into southern Israel, and then October 7th being something that they've never seen before since the Holocaust, and that Israel is merely engaging in Gaza because of what Hamas did, and it's all to do with October 7th. But we did hear from South Africa saying that whatever happened on October 7, which was a heinous crime and condemned by South Africa, it can't justify genocide. And South Africa put out its case about the unique character of this conflict, of this war, an attack on children, an attack on, for example, women who are pregnant, who can't access medical care. And of course, the intense demolition of public sites, municipal buildings, universities, the total destruction of the north of Gaza, making it uninhabitable for people to live there. And also the language we've heard from ministers, but also backbenchers in Israel, calling for the migration or the moving of Gazans away from the territory. So today it's been very much a legal argument from Israel. And actually right now they are discussing the humanitarian situation. They're saying that the Israelis do as much as they can to mitigate human suffering. But again, they have no option other than go into and occupy hospitals. They claim that every single hospital in Gaza is used by Hamas as a human shield or an operation area. But of course, these South Africans would say, well, even if that was the case, you'd have to be proportionate, whereas South Africans are arguing that there is no hospital or health system in Gaza, which is a disproportionate use of force.
Okay, and then just turning for a moment to the Israeli reaction to this, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu strongly criticised South Africa's hypocrisy, saying we're fighting terrorists, we're fighting lies, we're looking at an upside down world. Israel is accused of genocide while it's fighting against genocide. But can you tell us what the overall reaction to South Africa's decision to take this case has been in Israel?
Well, I did speak with the Israeli government yesterday, and exactly that. They described it as a blood libel. And of course, the Genocide Convention being used against Israel is extraordinary, given that obviously we know the Genocide Convention comes from the murder of Jewish people in the Holocaust. The argument from Israel, I mean, Israeli popular opinion is not to engage in a ceasefire or to end the military campaign in Gaza. There is, by and large support because of the fact that 136 hostages remain and they want to have them, obviously, back home, which is, as you can imagine, natural. And also, we know that the Israelis feel extremely vulnerable because of the nature of the Hamas attack. So I think that the Israeli government can be strong in criticising South Africa. And part of what we heard today in their argument is that South Africa has a relationship with Hamas. And so that's why this is all so hypocritical. We also know South Africa hasn't criticised Russia for its genocide against Ukraine. So the hypocrisy is in existence. But the feeling in Israel amongst Israelis is that the war must go on. No ceasefire is really, I mean, by and large, of course, many people have different opinions, but by and large, the hostages, the return of the hostages has to be a priority. But then when you do speak to hostage families, they don't see the government doing a huge amount to get the hostages. We don't hear very much about any negotiations at the moment between Israel and Qatar and Hamas and so on, and those other groups that managed to get a few children released from Gaza a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Coming back then to the case itself and the procedure here. So what happens when South Africa concludes its defence? And where does it go from there?
So Israel will finish after its 3 hours today. There's a hearing tomorrow as well, just with the judges. And then they're expected to respond to the call for provisional measures. These are interim measures that have been granted in many other similar cases where there's been concern about the breach of the Genocide Convention. It doesn't have to prove genocide is taking place. It has to prove that the court has a jurisdiction and that potentially genocidal intent or genocidal harm is taking place. So the court can institute that Israel, for example, could suspend its military campaign, which people are saying is unlikely because, remember, Israel is still coming under fire from Hamas. But it could call that for the Israelis to, ensure that they only fight within the laws of armed conflict, that the genocidal part about eradicating the whole of Gaza from Palestinians, that doesn't happen. And then crucially, that it does much more to allow for humanitarian access, for medical supplies, basic medical supplies, that people have painkillers, that they have food. We heard about yesterday really horrendous statistics about starvation, that the highest concentration of people suffering starvation is actually in Gaza, that there's 2,000% rise in the number of children suffering from extreme diarrhea. and stomach pain, which could lead to death. So, I mean, all of those things could be indicated by the court for Israel to do to protect at least human life.
Mm-hmm. I was listening this morning to the BBC coverage in the hours before the hearing resumed, and there were protesters gathering on both sides outside the ICJ. What are things like today?
Yeah, interestingly, I mean, I've been there for the, obviously both mornings. Today, the Israelis obviously had put on a bigger sort of show because it was their day, but there were far fewer protesters. I'm not saying that's an indication of anything, but what they had was photographs of those people, families who are still in Gaza, children, for example, who are still in Gaza. And as you've seen, probably many people have seen the tables and chairs that are laid out for the return of the hostages. And then on the other side, from the Palestinian side, there was a huge crowd of people chanting, as we've heard, you know, free, free Palestine. And the both, I have to say, both sides, they are on opposite ends of the sort of road, but they don't engage with each other. There's no confrontation. It's pretty peaceful, as you'd hope for a protest of this nature. And there was lots of Jewish people on the Palestinian side, Nukuri Karta, and some of those Jewish groups that are calling for an end to the occupation of Palestine.
Shona, thank you very much. Shona Murray there, Europe correspondent with Euronews. And Israel's defence in the International Court at The Hague is being broadcast live right now on the RTE News channel. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.